science enthusiasts. I'm your host, Jason Zukowski. I'm a high school chemistry teacher, but you probably know our dogs, Bunsen and Beaker. They're the science dogs on social media. This show takes what's best from their account, the curiosity and fun found there, and swirls it into podcast form. Every week, we're going to take some deep dive into an area of science and look at the research that's going on with our pets. We'll also have an expert guest who will enthrall you with their area of knowledge. This is the Science Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Science Podcast. We hope you're happy and healthy out there. I just posted the picture of Bunsen and Beaker. We found costumes of Bob Ross in a painting, and I modified it to work on their bodies. Oh, my God. It's the cutest picture. I don't know why I'm talking about that at the front of the podcast, but anyways, it's so cute. It just made my heart so big. And they were both so good for it, too. Bunsen was so good wearing the hat, like the Bob Ross hair. Another weird piece of news is we have bears at our house. What the heck? 2 years ago, there were bears at our house. There's bears again. We think they're just passing through, but we found evidence that bears have been around our house, most likely black bears, because we found their poop. Bear poop has a very distinct look to it, and it is kind of shocking that there's bears lurking around the farm. It's meant that our walks have been during the day and very short and on leash. And I'm going to be carrying bear spray with me for a while. Bears, hey, weird. Well, what's on the show this week? In science news, we're going to take a look at the Lucy mission that NASA announced to the Trojan asteroids of Jupiter. In pet science, we're going to take a look at a study that linked dog ADHD or hyperactivity to human hyperactivity. In Ask an Expert, we have Maria from a website called Omni Calculator. This web app is amazing, and we're going to get into how they made this calculator that can calculate everything from something that you would be interested in, maybe, like if you have a dog, how much food they should be eating based on their weight and breed, to something silly like how big is the perfect snowman snowballs to build the perfect snowman. Hey, dogs. How does a tree calculate square roots? Well, they use logarithms. Oh, that's so bad. All right, on with the show, because there's no time like science time. This week in science news, let's chat about the Trojan mission called Lucy that NASA has announced. It will probably have already been lifted off as you are listening to this podcast. It's scheduled to launch on October 16th. It's a big deal for a bunch of reasons that we'll talk about. But if you don't know what the Trojan asteroids are, real quick, they're really small moons. They're not even really moons. They're space rocks that are trapped gravitationally by Jupiter. One of the groups orbits ahead of Jupiter and the other kind of trails it around the sun. One of the cool things about the Trojan rocks is that they're probably really, really, really old and pristine and probably untouched by much of anything. So they could give us a really good look at the early, early solar system. So that's one of the main reasons that NASA justified the mission, is these Trojan asteroids, or I guess little moons of Jupiter. They're not really moons. These Trojan asteroids are a time capsule of our ancient solar system. They were probably doing their own thing and then just kind of got sucked along in the grasp of Jupiter as Jupiter formed. All of the asteroids, the theory is that, like, they're too small to see with telescopes, but we know they're there based on gravitational evidence. We know they're all way different. They're not alike. They're all different shapes. Some are different colors, which means they have different compositions and interesting things to learn about. The color of these Trojan asteroids could explain where some of the asteroids formed. So that's cool from a standpoint of solar system formation. Did Jupiter kind of wander around before it settled in where it is in our solar system? And would it have scooped up asteroids that formed closer to the sun and asteroids that formed further away from the sun? That's an interesting question to answer. The Lucy spacecraft will also visit more objects than any other spacecraft we've ever launched. It's going to visit about 8 asteroids, and some of those asteroids have smaller asteroids that orbit it, so I guess they have little bitty moons. So that's a lot of things that the spacecraft is going to look at. Now, it's not going to land on any of the asteroids like some of the other spacecraft sent little probes down to land on them. There's a whole reason as to why they can't get too close, is there's a lot of really complicated gravitational assists we're going to talk about next as to why you don't want the asteroid's gravity to mess up the spacecraft, but it takes some really good data. So speaking of not messing up its gravity, the trajectory of the Lucy spacecraft is pretty bananas. In order to get to the asteroids in front of Jupiter and behind, it's going to have to use gravitational assist from Earth 3 times. To start with, it'll swoop by the Earth a couple times to get up to the speed and then get rocketed out to look at the first asteroid and the Trojan asteroids that are in front of Jupiter. Now, these two gravitational assists will take a couple years. Like, it's not going to be out to do its job until 2022. Then it zips out, does its duty, and then comes back after watching the swarm that's in front of Jupiter. It comes back in 2030 to get another gravitational zip and then gets slingshotted across the solar system to the other side of the sun to look at the Trojan asteroids that trail Jupiter. One interesting thing to note is Lucy is solar powered. It's the spacecraft that uses solar power to fly the furthest away from Earth in our history. It's got huge solar arrays. The solar array on Lucy is nothing to sneeze about. It unfolds in a really complicated pattern, and each array is about 7 meters long. Standing on one end, Lucy's about the size of a 5-story building. So it kind of opens up like an origami, super awesome present, and then it can scoop up the sunlight to do its job. If you're wondering where the name Lucy came from, yes, it's after the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but it's got a really fun story. So the first human fossil, the first human fossil of a human ancestor was discovered by a paleoanthropologist, David Johnson, and he named that first fossil Lucy. And it's fitting because the very first Trojan asteroid that the Lucy spacecraft will visit is called David Johnson. Aww. I'm excited to see the pictures and I'm excited to see the data of these not well-known Trojan asteroids, and who knows what secrets they'll unlock. That's science news for this week. This week in Pet Science, we're going to take a look at an interesting study that linked dog hyperactivity and how it's measured and what happens to the dog to human hyperactivity. So we make a big deal on Twitter that Beaker has a lot of energy. She tweets in all caps. But you know what? To be honest with you, even though she can sometimes be a little bananas with chasing light and her prey drive, she is laser focused when it's time to learn. I love going to dog obedience with her so much because she loves to learn and she loves to do her jobs. She's the coolest dog that way. So she doesn't have hyperactivity, even though that some people get that impression. This study was done by Professor Hans Lohi, who is the head of canine gene research at the University of Helsinki. So the methodology of this study into dog hyperactivity and human ADHD-like behavior started from taking data from more than 11,000 dogs by conducting a whole bunch of surveys, behavioral surveys. They looked at impulsivity, inattention, and hyperactivity. And they were examined based on using the same type of survey that psychologists would use in human ADHD research. The goal was to try and link together environment to the behavior. Unsurprisingly, hyperactivity was linked to younger dogs. It kind of makes sense. If you've ever tried to train a puppy or if you've had a little puppy, their attention span is really short. They're like, hello, let's sit. Oh, what's that? What's that over there? Let's do a roll. Let's bite the shoe, right? And males had more inattentivity or impulsivity. And what's really interesting is, of course, when they looked at the ADHD surveys in humans, that's also the case. Younger male humans have more struggles with hyperactivity. They did find that dogs that spent more time alone were more impulsive and hyperactive than dogs that didn't have somebody at home with them for extended periods of time. If you talk to dog behaviorists, like dogs are social creatures and they like to interact with other social animals. Could be dogs, could be another human. Owners that have had the dog as their first dog also identified more impulsivity and hyperactivity traits. So there is a link between the inexperience of the owner and what they're seeing with the dog. There were definite breed-specific keys with hyperactivity, inattivity, and impulsivity. So breeds did have a direct impact on the study. And they found that it was kind of a double-edged sword. Dogs that were put to work that were quote-unquote work dogs, like Border Collies and German Shepherds, had very low hyperactivity and inattivity. They had good concentration. But dogs that didn't necessarily have a herding job, didn't necessarily get put to work, those dogs, Border Collie, German Shepherds, were really high on the impulsivity self-identification in these behavior studies. Dogs that were pretty good all around, regardless of the owner, regardless of being left alone, regardless of what they did with it, were the long-haired collie and the poodle. The study also confirmed other things with dogs that were also linked with ADHD in humans. So dogs that would have a form of OCD had very high levels of hyperactivity. And we see that in humans. Humans that are diagnosed with OCD, ADHD is almost there in conjunction. So that OCD behavior in dogs is linked to hyperactivity in dogs, just like it is in our fellow humans. Now, these findings by this group in Helsinki are really interesting. They used a similar tool, or the exact same tools, they just switched out human for dog, that BD psychologists would use on with humans to identify hyperactivity. They used it on dogs, so it was similar, and they found similar linkages with dogs to humans. The more data that's gathered, it's better for our dogs, right? Vets can diagnose it faster, having a greater data set to look at, and maybe they can treat it too. That's Pet Science for this week. Hey everybody, thanks for listening to our show week after week. If you want to know how to support the Science Podcast, here are a couple ways. It's always going to be free to download, so you'll never have to worry about paying for it. But, you know, things do cost money running a podcast, and here are a couple ways you could help us out. One is join our Patreon page. It's amazing. It's growing. It's almost like an extended family. There's multiple tiers of support, and we have lots of fun perks for being part of our Patreon page. The other way you could support us is giving us an awesome review on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, anywhere you can rate our podcast. Give us a great review. The third way you could support the show is checking out the BunsenBurnerBMD.com website. We have awesome merch there. We worked really hard finding quality merchandise that's comfortable with vibrant colors. And you'll find in limited quantities over the next couple months, maybe even less, the 2022 Bunsen and Beaker calendar. So three ways to support us: the Patreon page, two, give us a great review, three, head over to our merch shop and see if there's anything there you'd like. Thanks, everybody. Now on to the interview section. It's time for Ask an Expert on the Science Podcast, and I have cognitive scientist Maria Kluzak with me today. How are you doing today, Maria?
Oh, fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Now, where are you calling into the podcast from?
I'm calling from Kraków in Poland.
In Poland. Now, where is Kraków? I'm sorry if I said that wrong.
No, it's okay. I think that's actually like the common English pronunciation, so that's good. It's okay. In the southern part of Poland, like close to the mountain ranges, if that really tells you anything. Slightly below the center of the country.
Okay. Roughly. Okay. Now, have you lived in Poland your whole life? Are you like a Polish citizen born and raised? Yes. Okay.
Yes. Polish citizen born and raised. Exactly.
We were chatting before. My last name ends in a ski. And that usually people are like, are you Ukrainian or Polish? And my family is Polish. Yeah. But it's been hundreds of years since our Polish relatives emigrated to North America. So,
yeah, particularly.
So Maria, can we talk, I'd like to know a little bit more about you. We're talking about, we're going to eventually be talking about something called Omni Calculator. But before we get to that, could you tell our audience a little bit about, I guess, like what your training is as a cognitive scientist?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, cognitive science is, it's something new actually, in the world of science. It's somewhere in the middle between psychology, anthropology, a little bit of information technology. I started studying cognitive science actually because I figured it covers all the parts in psychology that interest me most. So it's a science interested in the way the human mind works, basically. what it gave me in my life, like I'm not actually working in cognitive science right now per se, but mostly the training that it gave me is like closer understanding of how things work. I am much better at researching very different topics because of my studies. I understand the world a whole lot better, and I understand the way the human mind works. So this is I think the most important thing of it. No,
I was just gonna say it kind of gives you a different perspective.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Actually,
oh, so, I took like one sociology class in my science degree, and I actually found it super interesting. To have more of a framework, I think that would be important because I'm a high school chemistry teacher, so. Knowing more about how people interact sometimes is important in a teaching situation.
Yeah, it gives you a whole new perspective. And what you said about being a chemistry teacher actually reminded me of a friend that I have who did his master's in cognitive science along with me, who is actually a chemist by education, but he exactly decided that he doesn't understand people enough for him, for his liking. So this is why he decided to, you know, follow up his chemistry master's degree with this completely different area, just so that he branches out and yeah, those interactions and everything else is more understandable for him.
Oh, very cool. Was that something you were drawn to?
I mean, when I was little, obviously, this is not very original, but I mostly wanted to study dinosaurs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, yeah, as I think almost everyone in the world. But yeah, I remember I was always drawn to the area of science, biology in particular. I enjoyed it immensely ever since I can remember. So I think, yeah, even when I was little, it was pretty obvious that I will go somewhere in that general direction.
I don't think you need to be feel bad about loving dinosaurs.
No, I feel great about it.
They're so cool.
Yeah.
I talked to a paleontologist on the podcast and I asked him like why do people love dinosaurs so much? And he thought about it for a second. He's like, I think it's because they're like these mystical creatures that would that just fill you with such wonder, and they're just gone. So it's like almost like for kids when you read about them, they're like dinosaurs and monsters and things like that, but they actually existed. So that that's really cool.
Yeah, that's true. There's this magical aspect to it in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's your training, and while you're not working in cognitive science, let's move into the reason why you're on the podcast, and that's to talk about something called OmniCalculator. So what is OmniCalculator? Can you tell our audience that?
Short answer is it's a website with calculators, but the longer answer is that it's a Poland-based startup that was created with the mission to somehow help people make reason-based decisions, math-based decisions. This motto that we have is just to count everything that you can and not only rely on intuition while, you know, just navigating your life, whether it's very serious decisions or something not really serious at all. And that's basically it. We are a group of people with very different scientific backgrounds. We have finance specialists, we have doctors, we have math experts, we have teachers, everyone you can think of. And we create these calculators that concern really, really simple things, even like, I don't know, calculating the number of calories that you will burn on your walk, and more serious topics such as cancer risks based on various factors, just so that people can have an easy answer to questions that they, you know, that cloud their minds, just so that people can, you know, make more informed decisions in their everyday life. And yeah, at this point, we have almost 2,000 calculators in 14 different calories. So there is a lot to choose from. And we hope we have some sort of, you know, indications that people actually use them and they find our calculators helpful in their lives. We've had a lot of comments, especially So you're based in Canada, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct? Yes, we actually, yep. one of my colleagues created a calculator that estimated your number in the vaccine queue sometime in the past, like several months ago.
Yeah, and that was, you actually had to wait for it for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we did it for several different countries, like 30 something. I'm not even sure at this point, to be honest, because there were so many. But we had a lot of positive feedback from people saying that these calculators giving them like a framework of when they can expect to get vaccinated gave them a lot of hope, a lot of like positive, you know, energy, and the feeling that they actually have something to look for, look, you know, towards to. So, yep, this is what we do mostly.
Now, I poked around OmniCalculator over mm-hmm. the last couple of weeks before we chatted. And
that's nice.
I think people need to, it's a website. So it's not like, is it an app or is it just the website for right now? I think it's just.
Right now is just a website.
Right, okay.
There is a mobile version available and it's, in my personal opinion, quite okay to use on mobile devices, but there is an app in development because the truth is we used to be quite small and we're still quite a young company. Mm. So we're still in the process of, you know, developing, but the app is in the works. I think it should be ready within a few months, but we'll see about that.
And it looks like from going through it, there's some very serious things, like you said, but then some somewhat helpful, but more lighthearted things, like the bread spreads calculator.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I love that one. I was looking at that and I was like, so if you buy a jar of Nutella and you can put in like how many people are eating it, how many times a week, how many you're using, it calculates when you're going to run out of Nutella. And that's amazing. I need to do that.
Yeah, I love this one as well. It's so silly, but so fun to use in, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if it has that for peanut butter, because we use peanut butter in our shakes in the morning, like a little scoop of peanut butter.
I think peanut butter should be in this calculator that you use. Like there should be a choice.
Oh, there is. I'm just on there now. Yeah. I'm just on there now. Yeah, there we go.
Me worried for a second there. I was ready to bet, you know, a lot that peanut butter was there. So it's good. It's good that it's there. I'm happy.
Okay, so OmniCalculator has all of these amazing ways to calculate, and it's pretty like you can add so many different variables and factors.
Yeah.
So how did your company go about developing something this, I guess, complicated?
Well, that's a good question. It's just, you know, a lot of people with very good ideas and a lot of people who are very good at coding, I would say.
So you didn't have somebody scoop out Nutella scoop by scoop to kind of to count them?
I think with this, you're talking about this particular calculator, okay.
Oh, like any of them.
I'm
using this one because it's relatively easy for people to visualize, right?
in many cases we did, because as you probably saw that the calculators are made by different people, so it's not like we work together on each one of them, but in many cases we do actually like try to conduct our own experiments just to make sure that everything works. And in other cases we base the calculations or scientific data on the research that we do, and we create the calculators once we find enough scientific background that can be verified, and we just try to, you know, simplify it and put it to use. But yes, there are some calculators that we created our own experiments for.
Now, specifically to something that might apply to people who love both dogs and science, there's a dog nutrition calculator. And am I correct to say you were involved in that?
Yep. Yes.
Case. Go ahead.
Yeah, I created it pretty much, but involved is a better word, actually, yes, because it was a cooperation.
What does the dog nutrition calculator do?
Basically, it tells you how much of dog food your pup needs based on their weight and the activity that they have. So it just helps you keep your dog healthy, I would say, by not overfeeding them.
Oh my goodness. I'm just clicked on it now. I know I took a look. It's pretty cool. Now, okay. So people are going to ask if you are, because people are very, very protective of their pet's health. How was, did, was there research done with this dog nutrition calculator?
Yes.
Okay, so
yeah,
did you have some experts working with you in dog nutrition?
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Olga Lasek, PhD, she is actually an expert in dog nutrition. She is a scientist who is currently working at Agricultural University of Krakow. And she's been in the field of dog and cat nutrition for 15 or 16 years. I think 16 at this point, because we worked on this calculator together last year, and it was 15 then. Yeah. So she's a real expert. She's pretty, you know, renowned, I think, in the more scientific community of dog nutrition and cat nutrition experts. I know she takes part in many conferences. She has some publications, and I just know that she spent so much time researching this subject. When you talk to her about this, it's just so nice to hear how much she has to say, how evidence-based it all is, because she does conduct her own research. And the calculator itself is actually based on an algorithm that she prepared along with her students. And she was kind enough to lend me this algorithm so that I can adjust it and just, you know, make it fit this format that it's more available for like your everyday dog owner.
I love it. You know, we rely mostly, I think, as pet owners on what the back of the bag says. Mm-hmm. And that isn't necessarily the best. I know if depending on the activity of your dog and the age of your dog and the weight of your dog, that may not be exactly the best.
Yeah.
So this, I'm going to play around with this food calculator.
I hope you like it. Yeah.
Cause dog weight is a good predictor of dog health, right? Especially with large breed. Yeah, large breed dogs like Bunsen, our Bernese Mountain Dog. Man, you got to keep them lean, or later in life they could have joint problems. So it's a big deal for your dog's health to keep them healthy with a weight.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Although I feel with smaller dogs, it's still the case. I actually only had smaller dogs in my life, and the dog that I have now, he's a mixed breed. He's a bit of everything, but he has shorter legs. And if he gets too fat, it's just like a giant ball, you know, on really, really short paws. So, yeah, I just feel like it's not that much of a difference between, you know, large breeds and small breeds when it comes to keeping their weights.
There you go. Yeah, those little short leg dogs, if they get a little too roly poly, they just become a little roly poly ball.
Yeah, exactly. You can see immediately that something is wrong.
Oh.
They look cute, but
not healthy. Yeah, not healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we move on, I got a couple more questions.
Mm-hmm, sure.
What's one of your favorite calculators on the site? Like, what would you tell people to say? Hey, take a search, because you can search for calculators on the site. There's like there's thousands, like you said. Ooh. There's close to 2,000. Do you have one that you think is interesting, or do you have one that you really like just for its, like, it might not be as super, super serious like cancer, but you'd like using it?
To be honest, I really like the Snowman calculator that we have. I don't know if you've seen it, but
no.
So it's a calculator that actually my colleague, who is a PhD in mathematics, created. It tells you how to build the perfect snowman based on, if I remember correctly, the Fibonacci equation. So that, you know, the proportions are as good as they can get. And it has some cute illustrations. And we actually did some experiments this winter, because we had quite a lot of snow in Krakow this winter, luckily. So within the company, within the team, we had a chance to put that calculator to use, and the rules it presented, the calculations were actually right, and the snowman turned out perfect. So this is a fun little tool that I really like to use, and I recommend it to my friends, especially if they have children in their family, because it's just such a fun activity to incorporate some of science and a lot of fun.
The snowman calculator. No, I didn't see that one, but I'll check it out. If there's one thing we have a lot of in Alberta, Canada, is snow. So
I hope you will find some time to use it then.
Yeah. The thing is, though, for people that don't live in a cold climate, you can't just randomly build a snowman any day of the year. You have
That's true.
The snow has to, you have to have a little bit of a melt, and the snow has to be kind of sticky, because you can't, like, if it's minus 25 degrees Celsius, you're not building a snowman in that weather.
Yeah, fair enough.
Is there another one you want to talk about, or is that one that just sticks out to you as your favorite?
That's the first one that came to my mind, but there is a bunch of others that are quite interesting, I think. There's also, I'm trying to think about the more, you know, maybe not shocking, but the more fun ones, because I think they are the coolest to talk about. We have an alien civilization calculator, and it was created by our two physicists, because we have a lot of, like, proper physicists, I'm sorry, and astrophysicists in the team. And this one, alien civilization calculator, it helps you estimate how many alien civilizations you could have in the universe based on some sort of, you know, various variables. So it's also something really cool to play around with. And it's not really dependent on the weather. So yeah, anyone can use it.
Okay. I love that kind of thing about alien civilizations. Okay. I'll check that one out. That's awesome. we're going to, you know, for folks that are listening, in the show notes, there'll be a hyperlink right to Omni Calculator. So
lovely.
Yeah. So they can, you know, just check out the show notes, people. They can click on that and away they go. Mm-hmm. So my last question before we move on is what is your overarching role with Omni Calculator? Like, are you one of the, like, you're talking to me about it, are you one of the marketers? Are you one of the public faces of Omni?
In a way I am a marketer. About public faces, the thing is that everyone in Omni Calculator can become a public face.
Okay.
Because, you know, the calculators are created by many different people, so it really depends on which topic catches somebody's attention, but everybody, you know, signs them with their own name, and we don't really have any ghostwriters or anything like that. But yeah, I am a sort of a marketer. I am somewhere between a researcher and a communication person. I create some content. I create the calculators, but I also take care of promoting them, of talking about them, and just, you know, making sure that people use them and they are as best as they can be.
Cool. You know, I was thinking a calculator that we would like to use is a moose leg chance calculator for Bunsen in the winter.
This is something that you can actually pitch an idea to our website, because we did several calculators that were users' requests.
Oh, really?
So, there is a contact page at the website, and you can most likely, you know, just share your idea.
We'll send that in. I think whoever reads it will think we're a little bananas, but that's okay.
We've had really weird requests in the past, so don't worry. I'm sure they will love it.
Now, I'm looking at this and it's in English. Is that just because, like, the back coding of the website recognizes I'm from Canada, or is the website only in English? Because you're
the website is in English. Yeah, the website is in English. We have a bunch of Polish calculators that are specifically, you know, tailored at whatever is going on here right now, some sort of current situation things. But the website is in English. We are planning to translate it into several languages, including Polish. But we started with English because we think that, well, obviously this language has, like, the biggest chances of reaching as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. So this was, like, a conscious decision just to make it as accessible as we can.
Well, good, you know, for folks that are trying to wrap their head around, you just said your English is your second language. That's pretty impressive. Your team would put this together when you're Polish citizens and, you know.
Yeah, we have actually not only Polish, because the team is kind of spread around the world.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. We are mostly Polish. I think 50% of the team are Polish at this point, but we have people in Spain, we have people in England, we have people in the Philippines, we have people in South Africa and several other places. So yeah, it's very international right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really nice, like from the perspective of an employee, that I have so many different personalities from so many places around me. It's really, really cool.
Oh, and it's amazing.
It was quite interesting, especially in the pandemic, because, you know, we are used to remote work, but this possibility to talk to people from many different places over this last year was really something that I appreciate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you're in lockdown, you can get a perspective on another part of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
I really appreciate that with my side gig being the podcast host, getting to talk to people from all over the world. It does.
Yeah, exactly. You know what it's like, you know, how nice it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. Make sure you guys check out OmniCalculator. All right. The other questions we ask are kind of fun ones on the podcast, and they're silly, but they let our audience get to know our guests a little bit more. So one of them is about a pet story. And Maria, do you have a pet story or pets you could talk about with us?
Yeah, I think before, like we chatted before, I don't really have one single story about a pet because there are just so many that it's difficult to choose one particular one. But I do have pets that I can talk about. Right now, I have a dog in my family home. His name is Fletcher. And like I said, he's a little bit of everything. We honestly don't know because he's a rescue and he came to us when he was already an adult and we have absolutely no idea about his heritage, but he's honestly the funniest dog I've ever seen. I'm so in love with this dog. Aww. He sings. This is the weirdest thing. Yeah, I've never seen a dog like this. You probably know those videos of huskies that howl and they almost learn to howl different melodies. Well, Fletcher is like that, but even more, I would say. And it really doesn't make sense because looking at him, he definitely has no husky blood. Like he has those short legs and shortish head, and is just really, really weird. But he honestly, he sings. And when he hears somebody scream something or say something in a high voice, he responds with those really weird high sounds, and sometimes it really sounds like he's vocalizing words.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you ever get that on tape? Did you ever video that?
Yes, I did, although he has this weird tendency to go silent when you start recording.
Oh, see, you know,
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, Bunsen is great on camera. He doesn't change any of his behavior, but Beaker knows, our golden retriever. She knows when she's being videotaped, so she acts really differently when she's being videotaped, so it's kind of
tough. I feel like Fletcher is the same. He just notices that the focus is on him and he just freezes.
How old is Flatter?
Fletcher.
Flatter. How old is Flatter?
I have no idea, to be honest. This is controversial. Yeah, the problem is that when we rescued him, he looked pretty young, but his teeth were already in bad condition. And one vet estimated that he is about a year old at that point, and another vet said that he is at least 3, and he's been with us for 7 years at this point. So I would guess he is around 10, but it's hard to say.
Now, the name Flatter, I'm sorry if I'm getting the inflection wrong.
That's okay.
Does that have a mean? Is that a Polish name?
It's actually the Polish word for a dental filling. I know. My mother is a dentist.
Oh,
and yeah. Well, it's just, you know, a reference to her work, but it's also kind of like there is a sort of a cute story behind it, because when Fletcher was rescued, it was about a year after our previous dog Max passed away from cancer. So we were still pretty bummed, and we were considering getting another dog because, you know, a household without a dog is just too empty, but we were still very sad and not sure if we were ready. And then Fletcher kind of got in the way, so we adopted him, and this name kind of came along. We didn't really think much about it, but after my friend learned that we adopted this dog and we named him this way, she asked if it's because he filled the void after the previous dog, like a dental filling fills a hole in your teeth. It was, you know, that was a really, really nice comment. No one here thought about it like this, but yeah.
Yeah, you're left it with works. That. You're left with the cavity from the loss of your
yeah,
family
exactly.
dog. Yeah, we yeah. went through that too before Bunsen, our golden mm-hmm. we had before Bunsen died of cancer as well. And it does. It leaves a achy hole in your family.
Yeah, it really does. It was
and
a
then,
tough year.
Yeah, and then but Bunsen came along and boy, made things a lot better.
Yeah, it's never the same. It's never no. the same dog because you know they are so different and you will always miss the first or you know the previous mm-hmm. pet. But it helps. Yeah, it helped a lot that
it
he
does,
is here.
Yeah. Well, that's see you said you maybe didn't have a pet story, but you have so many good ones.
Well, I did say I have too many to choose one.
Oh, right. Yes. This is true. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your pet story. That was really mm-hmm. touching and hilarious, both at the same time. The other question we asked our guest for is the super fact. And the super fact is something that you know, that you maybe tell people or you know about it and it kind of blows people's minds away or they're like, whoa, that's cool. Do you have a super fact you could share with us?
Well, I'm not sure if it's super fact in the sense that I know if it will blow anyone's mind away, but I was really surprised when I learned that you can get a service dog if you suffer from anxiety or depression and the fact that it works. Like as far as I remember, I read a study that a service dog just maybe not even a service dog, just, you know, having contact with a dog regularly can mm-hmm. decrease anxiety and depression by about 60%. Like those, you know, those bad feelings associated with it. So mm. when I learned about it, I was really surprised and really happy to hear that this is something that is scientifically based. It's not just, you know, an intuition that we have, because in some way, it's something that I always knew that dogs and pets in general make you feel better. But the fact that it's recognized so officially that you can actually get a service dog that will help you if you're anxious is just so cool to me.
Hmm. You know, when I read something similar to that and I talked about it on the podcast, people are shocked, right? Like they can't believe yeah. that. And the one study said, like, of course, if you do suffer from depression and you are on medication, please don't stop taking your medication. But they did say the effect of people who have depression is the same from their medication as it is from spending time with an animal. And that is shocking and that's hard yeah. to believe, but it's backed up by the science, like you said.
Yeah,
but of exactly. course they're like, don't stop taking your medication, right? They're just saying that the response was the same.
Yeah. It's important to keep taking your medication if you got prescribed, but yeah, it's so cool that maybe if you combine these two things, if you get a pet, if you adopt a dog on top of getting your medication, then maybe the combined effect will be even better. I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah, yeah, it is very cool. We hear from people all the time on Twitter with Bunsen and Beaker's account that, you know, just mm-hmm. seeing pictures of dogs can boost your mood. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like getting tackled by a dog after a bad day. So,
yeah. I know. It just makes everything better.
That is a super fact. That is a super uplifting fact. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
The last section of the podcast is a really fun one. We started mm-hmm. it about, I don't know, 6 months ago, where we ask guests about an area outside of science that they're really passionate about. Like, what's mm-hmm. important to you outside of your area of work? Hobbies or okay. causes? What do you have there to tell us about?
Okay, I think I can tell you a little about board games that I play. I really like spending my free time playing board games. And one game in particular that I'm really into and I've been getting involved in the local community of the players is Go or Baduk. I don't know if you've ever heard about this.
I have not, so you'll have to explain.
Yeah. Okay. So Go or Baduk, it's this ancient Chinese or Korean or Japanese. This is unclear. That's the problem. But it is generally agreed upon that it's probably Chinese. But anyway, it's an ancient Chinese game. I would say it's what chess is to the Western world. This is what Go is to the Eastern world, in a way. And it's this theoretically really simple board game where two players put stones of different colors on the board like one after another, like black goes first, then white, then black, then white, et cetera, till the end of the day, with mm-hmm. the aim of getting as much territory as you can. And the cool thing about this game is that it is, like, on the surface, it's really simple because there's like three rules to remember. But the proper board is 19 by 19 points. So it's really huge. So there are so many possible moves to make that artificial intelligence only managed to beat a human player in it like several years ago. I think 4 or 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, sorry. My tongue got twisted. Yeah. It was really, you know, a big event when AlphaGo was the program when it beat the best, I think, the best player in the world, or best player in Korea, I think. But it was pretty huge.
What is the spelling of this game?
G-O. Like literally just to, yeah, as in go, but I think the pronunciation is more like go, or something like this. And okay. It's also called Baduk, so B-A-D-U-K. But Go is, I think, the more common name.
Okay, I'm just checking. I don't know how to play Go. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm just image searching it mm-hmm. on the... Oh!
Yeah, if you see those white and black stones, okay. That's it.
yeah, okay, so I've seen this before. How long...
Have you seen A Beautiful Mind?
Yes, yeah, that's...
So there is a scene where they played, and there even is a song in the soundtrack which has the name Playing a Game of Go, and this is actually how I first learned about this game's existence.
Wow. Holy man, it's huge. It's a huge...
Yeah, it is.
So how long does a game last?
That depends. There are different modes. Like you can play a so-called blitz game. So there you just make a move as fast as you can. And I think with this size of board, it takes like 15 minutes, maybe 20. But it can also take several hours, which is why you usually play with a clock. And I think proper tournament games usually are around, I'd say, 1 hour to 2 hours. But it can get a lot longer.
So you said you play with the community. Like, do you set up a league, or is there something set up and you go out there and you just like clean everybody up because you're so good at it?
No, I'm not very good. I'm actually quite weak when it comes to this game. But there is quite a big community. I mean, it's mostly, you know, it's very popular in China, Korea, and those you know, those places, those countries. But here in Europe, and as far as I know, in Canada and America as well, there are some more local communities. And I actually have a club here in Krakow. We meet weekly just to play it. We have several boards. We have several sets of those stones you play with. And basically, we just meet up and we play casually. But there are also tournaments. There is a more official league. I think when you look properly, most countries have their own official leagues, but I don't feel I am good enough to really take part in those official tournaments yet, because I haven't been playing this very long. I'm still pretty new, but I'm really into it. So I hope that in the future I will be able to, you know, do it more seriously. Now it's just a casual, you know, way to spend some free time.
Can the little tiles move like checkers? Or once you play them, put them down, they're there?
Once you put them down, they are there.
Okay, I'm going to have to learn more about this game. It looks really intriguing.
Yeah, definitely do. It's really, really great.
So we need Netflix to make a Go series like they did with the female chess player that was really, really
Queen's
popular.
Queen's Gambit,
yeah. Wasn't that... Did you watch that? It was so good.
Yeah, I did. But I don't play chess. I mean, I haven't really had a chance to play chess in my life a lot. So I really loved the series, but I had no idea what's going on.
I played chess like in high school a little bit. Mm-hmm. I just loved that the drama and the storytelling and the characters.
Yeah, it's a really good series.
So we just need like a Go, a Queen's Go. Yeah, or something hopefully. Like that. I don't know.
That would really, really help popularize the game. Because, yeah, not many people in the West hear about it. And it's really, really great.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's, you know, every time I ask one of the guests for something they're passionate about,
you know, you get to see an area that maybe you've never thought of before. And I've never even thought of this game. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. I'm always happy to share about it.
So we're at the end of our chat, Maria. Are there some social media accounts or things that people could follow besides just going to the Omni Calculator website?
Yeah, actually, it's really nice that you asked about this, because obviously we have the Facebook page, but there is also a YouTube channel, which is also called Omni Calculator. And we have an ongoing series of videos that are being produced right now. My friend Alvaro from Omni Calculator is shooting really nice videos where he uses the calculators to conduct some simple experiments and show people how they can be used in an interesting way, maybe to help young children learn some physics facts, etc. We are right now actually doing a really cool series about chilling drinks. So if you're somewhere that it's still warm, maybe you'll be interested in that. Yeah, the YouTube channel is something you could check out definitely.
Like, are we talking like fancy alcoholic drinks? Is that what you're talking?
No, just drinks. No. Just drinks in general.
Okay, I thought it was like, you know, like how to make the perfect martini or something like that, or if you're on the beach.
No, not really, but yeah. No, it's just for any, like, it will be good for a martini as well, but...
We need an Omni calculator in Canada for how to make the perfect poutine. I think that's another thing.
Oh, that's a nice idea, yeah.
I'll send that to your website.
We have several calculators about how to make perfect barbecue or something, so this would work, I think.
There you go, the perfect poutine. Right.
Yeah, definitely send it.
The right amount of cheese curds and the right gravy, guys. That's how you
I'd love to conduct the experiments for that. Yeah. Do some research, you know.
Yeah. You know, I've been as after this interview, I'm going to like sneak through this website a bunch. They're just so cool. I'm actually thinking for people that are classroom teachers, you could use some of these calculators in like a bit of a scientific inquiry experiment almost. To fact check them or to go into the science of how they work. So for teachers out there, this is a really cool resource.
That's so nice to hear, because we this is one of our aims, you know, so it's really cool to hear that people really think that.
those links you talked about, the YouTube one, your Facebook page, the Twitter account. You guys have an Omni Calculator Twitter account. And then the website. All four of those, Maria, if you send me some of the links, I will make sure all of those are in the show notes. They'll be just one right after the other, guys. And you can just like click on any of those to go where you'd like to go and learn more. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, it's time for story time with me, Adam. If you don't know what story time is when we talk about stories that have happened within the past 1 or 2 weeks. You know what? I'll start. So, if you don't know our family, we've got Bunsen and Beaker, and then we've got Mom, Dad, and I in the same house. So, when I or anyone goes into that door, for that matter, Bunsen decides to be kind of annoying. He decides to yell at you. He, like, tries his best to be as loud as humanly possible, or as doggily possible, to get your attention. He tries to get all of your attention, and then when it doesn't work, he like just jumps into you. So if yelling doesn't work, he takes matters into his own paws and decides to tackle you or just punch you. So yeah, Bunsen can be a little bit annoying sometimes, but I love him. We love him. And that's who he is. Mom, do you have a story?
I sure do. So earlier this week, I was getting ready and I was going to put some socks on, and I had them ready and I had them out on the bed. And then I saw that the laundry was put down the laundry chute. And I said to myself, okay, that's no big deal. Jason must have put the laundry down the laundry chute. And oh no, when I was ready to put my socks on, one of the socks was missing. And I said, Jason, please go downstairs and get my sock out of the laundry chute. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, my sock. It was like I left it out. I was going to put it on. Now there's only one there. And you put laundry down the laundry chute. Well, it turns out that Beaker took my sock. And Adam said, Beaker has your sock right over here. And so I accused Jason of taking my sock and putting it down the laundry chute when really it was Beaker the whole time. And then she just gave it up. She's like, oh, that's your sock? No big deal. And that's my story.
Well, no story from Dad this story time. That's all right. It's just he's on the couch right now. He's sleeping. So that's story time this week. Well, nothing really interesting happened with the dogs this week. So, I mean, they've been on their best behavior. So get ready for more stories later down the line. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into the Science Podcast this week. Special thanks to Maria from OmniCalculator, who talked to us about the amazing website. You can calculate everything there, even the perfect snowman. Special thanks to our top-tier patrons on Patreon. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Take it away, Chris.
Chris Kelly, Samantha Dodd, Kimberly Bond, Nate Stephenson, Debbie Anderson, Courtney Proven, Renee Hardy, Mary Ryder, Shelby Leggett, Dan Fry, Mary Coos, Katla Lynch, Marianne McNally, Andrea Persons, Elizabeth Bourgeois, Karen Beth St. George, Bianca Hyde, Leela Prilio, Lynn Armstrong, Lisa Swartz, Catherine Jordan, Donna Craig, Lila Ashier, Jody Ogren, Liz Button, Kathy Zerker, and Ben Rathert.
For science, empathy, and cuteness.